Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Well, I've been preaching on the subject of prayer. As you can see, if you're first time here today, we've been on the subject of prayer. There are three themes the Lord gave me for this year. The first one was love, and we just started a few weeks ago on the subject of prayer. And the last subject for the year will be praise, and that'll begin, Lord willing, in August. But today I want to continue the subject of prayer, and we've been looking at the model prayer. And where we've gone through sections of it, there's sections or demarcations where God wants us to take this model prayer, not pray it. You can pray it in 30 seconds or less. God never intended for us to take the model prayer and pray it in 30 seconds like a ritual, a meaningless ritual. He intended for it to be a model. Notice what Jesus, and today we're on the last portion of that, by the way. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine be the glory forever. We're going to get to that in a moment, but I want to review a little bit with you. Notice that Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, after this manner, pray. He didn't say, take this and make it a ritual prayer, but use this as a model, like a model home. Move your own furniture, your own issues, your own things into this prayer, but use it as a way, if you need help focusing on prayer, if you get distracted easily, sometimes you need a model. Jesus said, after this manner, pray ye. And then we break it down, and you take time in each section to let the Lord and the Holy Spirit help you in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice, it begins with praise, and it ends with praise. Notice that this prayer, this model prayer that Jesus said, if you want to pray, pray after this manner. Notice that everything we talk about to God is sandwiched between praise. Praise is vital. Praise is important. You talk about priorities. Get my priorities straight. Your kingdom, your will being done in my life. Get provision. Before you even talking about your needs, you're spending time praising God and getting your priorities straight. And didn't Jesus say that if you seek first the kingdom, the order of God, the dominion of God in your life, that all these other things would be added to you? And so this model prayer is just showing us that. And then it talks about peace. God wants us to have maintain peace, fight to maintain peace between one another. And don't get caught in a snag, like your fishing line gets caught on something by unforgiveness or bitterness. You can't stay there, but that affects you physically. Get out of that. So it deals with peace. It deals with priorities, provision. And of course, last week we talked about supernatural protection. Deliver us from evil. We have an enemy. God's enemy is our enemy. And if you're not a friend of God, then you're an enemy of God. And Satan is your friend. And that's what one of the young people who got baptized today said. That's the reason hearing that made her realize, I don't want to be an enemy to God, and I don't want to be a friend of Satan. I want God to be my father. So as a result of that message last week, thank God, these young people said, yes, I want the Lord. I want him in my life. So today we're at this demarcation again. Now we're ending with praise. Everything's sandwiched with praise. We start off praying to God with praise, and we end this model prayer with praise. Praise is vital. Praise is very, very important. It ought to be the first thing you do in the morning. You ought to praise God. It ought to be the last thing you do at night. Sandwich your day in with praise. You don't realize how important praise is. Some time ago, I was going away on a personal retreat just to have some time alone with the Lord, and I believe that he spoke into my heart and said, I want to have time alone with you. I don't want you to go away and try to write a book. I don't want you to go away and try to plan preaching for Sunday. I just want you to spend time alone with me, which I do every day, but it was like God was jealous. It was like God was saying, I'm jealous to have you to myself. I want you undistracted, fully focusing on me. And so as I was driving away to spend an overnight place for a retreat, in my mind as a preacher for doing this almost 40 years, my mind kicked into gear thinking about Sunday's coming, so I've got to start working on the sermon for Sunday. And as the moment my mind started doing this, now keep in mind, this is while I was driving, the Holy Spirit interrupted my thought. In my mind, this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, should preaching be your priority right now? It was a word of correction. See, God was jealous, not jealous of me, but jealous for me. And sometimes preachers can let the church become a mistress to them. And the church and preaching and what you do on Sunday can become something that gets in the way of your intimacy with God. And one of the things the Lord has made clear to me from that day on, I never forgot this, is my number one ministry is to Him before it is to you. If I never preach again, my number one ministry is ministering to the Lord. The Lord, you say, doesn't need anything. I know, but He calls us priest and unto God. We're to minister unto God. And so my number one priority is to minister unto Him. And if I get that mixed up, I shorten my ministry with you. I won't have anything to give you, because everything I have to give you comes out of first ministering to Him. In fact, the other day, there was a moment where I was writing out the message for today and preparing for it. I came to a moment where it was kind of like a stall, where I kind of hit a wall. And so my office is right across over there. So I came in here, as I often do, and the sanctuary is dark, and it's just a glorious time to have a moment alone with God. And I just began pacing back and forth and walking around this sanctuary and meditating on that scripture. God, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. And I just kept saying that out loud and ministering to the Lord, praising God with His being the kingdom, His being the power, and His being the glory. And as I started doing that, boom, it's like a portal opened up in the Spirit, and God began to download things to me that I'm going to share with you today. It was just like it happened as a result of ministering to God first. Not preparing a message first, but worshiping God, ministering to the Lord. I love Acts chapter 13. There's a couple of scriptures there that just absolutely intrigue me. Acts 13, there's a scripture where it talks about there was a small group of people, prophets and teachers, and they got together, and it says they were ministering to the Lord with fasting and worshiping. And then it says, after a while, the Holy Spirit broke in and said, now I want you to separate for me Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Paul, for the work I have for them to do. So the very assignment that came upon the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and the adventure of his life, it all came out as a result of people who were first not going to God and saying, tell us what to do, but they were first ministering to God. And then God said, now here's what I want you to do. See, God made us human beings, not human doings. We can do things for God, and you should all have a job in your church and do something as unto the Lord. It's a good thing to do things, but God doesn't need us to do things. In fact, if you are first not ministering unto the Lord in your personal relationship with the Lord, that really you're diminishing your ministry, the effectiveness. God doesn't need you to do things for you. You can serve people, and I'm serving God now by serving you and feeding you the Word of God, and that's wonderful, but my first priority is unto Him alone, if I never preach again. For thine is the kingdom, the dominion of the King. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Those three words just emphasize dominion, His might. And the word glory there, the last part of that is the word doxa, which in the Greek, which we get the word doxology. And it means weight and their brightness and all that. But I was surprised to find in the dictionary that that word glory actually means to have a good opinion of God. In other words, you give God glory when you express a good opinion of God, especially if you're in a difficult situation. I believe good is going to come out of this situation. I'm expressing a good opinion of God rather than complaining. It's interesting that that word glory also means light. We can give God glory or lighten up a dark room by making his presence known. One of the things in Revelation 4, when it speaks about the vision of what heaven is like, there's a throne, and God who sits on the throne, it says he's like a diamond, he's like a ruby, he's like an emerald rainbow with a light around it. But God is light. There's no darkness in him. The glory of God is light. Do you know in heaven there's no sun or moon? It says the glory of God is there, and that's what brightens the room. No shadow. The glory of God is light. And there's something about learning how to praise God. Let me ask you a question. Since God doesn't need anything, what does he want from us? What does God want from you today? He doesn't need anything. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you to want him. He wants you. He wants your full attention. So let me ask you another question. Why do all churches begin church service with singing songs to God or about God? Why do we start off saying, why don't we start preaching? Why don't we start with the offering? Why do we start church services with singing? It does. Sets the atmosphere. Somewhere along the line, people realize that if you want to encounter the presence and the power of God and his glory, his light, is that you can affect the atmosphere through singing. The psalm says we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. So it does something in the atmosphere when we begin to sing to God. One of the first things it does, it gets our minds off of ourselves. So many times at this altar, I've had people who were brokenhearted, who were depressed, who were deeply troubled with problems, physical, spiritual, emotional. And they'll come up here to me or to one of our workers, and I want to pray with them, and I want to ask them some questions like, are you born again? And if they're not, I want to lead them to the Lord and things like that. But there's sometimes some people are so heavily burdened that it's almost like I can speak to them, but they're not hearing it. Even though I've just preached a message, an anointed message, and we've had anointed worship, I speak to them and I talk to them, but they're so heavily consumed with their problem that you can't break through. And one of the reasons is they are deficient in praise. They don't know the value of it or the purpose of it. So when we start off church services with singing and rejoicing in God to get our eyes off of us and onto him, it also affects the atmosphere. People that are depressed or even troubled with demonic spirits, you know, David played a guitar-type instrument to King Saul, and it says that it lifted that spirit of heaviness and darkness off of him. It did something to the demons. It made him flee for a little while and gave him a little relief. Praising God, worshiping God. Elijah, a prophet of God. There were times where he wanted to minister, he wanted to prophesy, he wanted to give forth the message that God gave him, and it says he couldn't do it until he called for a minstrel, a musician. He said, give me a minstrel. And someone would come in who was skilled and with gifted ability with music, and they would play, whether a guitar or play some kind of instrument. And then after a season of filling the atmosphere with praise, then he could prophesy. There are times, have been in times in my life, where I should not have preached yet because the atmosphere wasn't ready. Not here. Thank God for Michelle and our worship team. You just don't know What a huge difference Spirit-filled, anointed worshipers can make in the atmosphere. And then there's sometimes people come from different kinds of churches and they're not used to our expressive church. Thank God our church is expressive. Not afraid. And our worship dancers, ladies up there, they're, you know what? They are kind of like your cheerleaders at a football game. Some, come on, let's stir it up. Let's praise God. Let's focus on Him. And they're there to help you with that. And even when people walk by carrying the banners and waving and stuff, it's you know, one of the names of God is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner of victory. A good definition of praise, kind of lengthy, but a good definition of praise. Praising God is declaring the kingdom and the power and the glory of God. Anybody got a problem with that? Praise can be vocal. Hallelujah. It can be audible without being vocal. Clapping your hands. Or dance before the Lord. Or raising your hands. That can be praise to God. It's all biblical. It's all the ways, various ways that God loves for people to have the freedom to express. Like for 20 years, Pam and I and Sarah and Andrew, we were in traditional churches that they were not expressive. Nobody even raised hands. First time I ever saw somebody raise hands, I was in Baptist Bible Institute in Graceville, Florida. And it was in a chapel service. I'd never seen anybody raise their hands before in my life. And there was a young guy just filled with the Spirit, filled with the joy of the Lord, one of the students there. And I remember seeing him every chapel service when the singing was going on. He was like this. Praising God. He was like that. Nobody elsewhere was doing that, but he didn't care. He was just there praising God. And every eye was on him like, what is he doing? And I began to admire him because he was not afraid of what people thought of him. And for about 20 years, for the most part, thank God that a lot of these traditional churches have changed now. Thank God for that. And even the ones we came out of have changed. And you can go to many of these churches and they're freer. They'll lift their hands and they do praise choruses and things like that. But for like the first 20 years of our life, nobody raised their hands in church. Somebody would have raised their hand in church. You thought they had a question or they need to go to the bathroom or something. What is going on? But so and I remember the first time, Sarah, I remember as a pastor, I just had been to conferences and stuff and I'd seen people pray and I wanted to have that freedom myself. But I was fearful of what people were going to think about me. My focus was on me and what they were thinking rather than on them. So I determined I'm going to praise God. I'm going to lift my hands and praise God. So the first time I ever lifted my hands in church was like this. This is called carrying the TV. See, you can do this and most people won't even notice you. So it's an easy way to break into. I was lifting my hands. Widescreen. And someone said to describe, once you get a little bit braver, you can go, carry my baby. And finally, if you ever get free enough to kind of raise your hands up, someone said, this is goalpost. And if you really lose your fear of people and stuff, you can do one hand, wash the window. Two hands washing the windows. I've heard this from some guy on YouTube, but it was cracked me up. And then he said, it's like when you really are free, you finally get free and you don't care what people think about you and you're here to worship God and lift your hands to the Lord. You can do one of all three. You can do, this is Village People, this is Rocky, and this is Score Touchdown. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it took a while. Now, how many of you are, you probably right now, you're attending a non-hand-raising church. Would you raise your hands? non-hand-raising church. Oh, look at what you're doing. You're free. You just raised your hands. Now just do that a little longer and praise God. It's just freedom. God wants us to have freedom, not be concerned about what people think. But praising God is warfare. I want you to know that. There's a warfare involved. You actually do change the atmosphere. You affect the atmosphere. When you start focusing on God and praising God, you affect the atmosphere. Let me show you an example in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. This is beautiful. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, it says, "There came to pass a time where the trumpeters and singers were one, and they lifted their voice and their trumpets and their instruments." They were all one. Are you hearing me? They were one. They were united. Everybody doing the same thing. "And the house was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not even stand to minister, for the glory of the Lord filled the house." I want to experience that. You can't preach, you can't, man, the glory of God is so awesome. I had one moment like that, and it wasn't in a church service. I was at Baptist Bible Institute, and there was a group of young guys, and they were more charismatic in their faith, and they invited me to come into the prayer room of the Bible college, and we were going to spend an all-night prayer meeting there together and just praise God and worship God. Well, I was attracted to the joy and the praise and worship of these guys, so I went with them. And so there was about six or eight of us in this small room, and they allowed us to stay there overnight and just pray and worship. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, I remember this vividly, never will forget it. After we were just singing praises to God and we were just praying together out loud and just being free and making sure our hearts were right with God, about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I began to think it was my eyes glazing over, but it was like a blue mist filled the room, and we all saw it. And they said, "Did you see that?" Yeah, it was a blue mist, a mystical thing. I'd never had it happen again, and I attribute it to being the glory of God that came in the room, and there was a holy hush, and we were in awe that God really liked that atmosphere. He enjoyed it so much that he gave us a manifestation of his presence. And for however long that was, probably just a few minutes, we worshiped God in awe. I've never had that happen again, but I long for the day that it happened here. That the glory of God come in this room and all of us are on our faces before God. I'm telling you, miracles happen. Signs and wonders still happen today. When you learn how to praise God and focus on him and get your eyes off of yourself. Do you know that healing can happen in your body? Sickness can happen in your body by thinking wrong thoughts or dwelling on sickness or dwelling on something so long. You've heard the term psychosomatic illnesses. Psycho being your psyche, your mind, and soma is the Greek word for body. Your mind is affecting your body so that you actually have sickness. I forget the percentage, but one doctor reported that above 80% of people in hospitals are there due to psychosomatic illnesses. They're making themselves sick because they're just dwelling on the sickness. They read all the bad reports, they go to the internet and read all the symptoms, and they get worse. Well, in the opposite way, think about a praise atmosphere. You can cancel those things out. You can change the atmosphere by beginning to focus your mind and your mouth on praising God. And you can stop the enemy in his tracks through praising God. You can stop some of this depression that's coming against you. You can stop some of this demonic affliction by just vocally praising God. Look at this scripture in chapter 8, verse 2. It says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, infants, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest," what? Stop the enemy. How? With your mouth. You can put a stop to him. You can put a stun gun on him by learning to focus on praising God and worshiping God out loud with your mouth, being expressive. It's powerful. That's why God said that when you pray, make sure you start off with praise, you end with praise. It's powerful. Be in a praising church. Crank up the praise music at your house when things are getting rough and when things are you're getting attacked by the devil. Turn on some praise music and crank it up and praise God. I'm telling you, it affects the atmosphere. It stops the enemy. It drives him crazy. That's a weapon in your mouth. When I was a kid in high school, we did a science experiment. I remember the teacher taking a gas can. Remember these gas cans that were metal? He took a gas can, and in this gas can that he took the lid off, and he put a Bunsen burner underneath this gas can. Remember the metal gas cans like this? And he heated up that gas can. So all that the air on the inside, the hot air expanded, the air left it. Then he put the cap back on the top of it. And as that gas can began to cool down, the metal collapsed together. It just squeezed in and totally collapsed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's exactly what the enemy wants to do with us. Because, see, the outside pressure of the gas can became stronger than what was on the inside. And it compressed and squeezed that gas can together, closed. In the same way, that's what the devil wants to do with you. He wants to steal your praise, steal your joy, stop your mouth from praising God and thanking God and blessing God with your mouth. And when he can do that, you have nothing on the inside to give to God. And the pressure on the outside will collapse you. Do you know that there are some battles that you're going to deal with in this life that are spiritual? And the only way you're going to ever have victory is you learn how to open your mouth and praise God. There are some battles. You can't win it by physical. You can't win it any other way but learning how to praise God. That is a way, one way you do fight the enemy. Let me give you an example. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it's actually 2020, so if you want perfect vision, you need to pay attention to this. There was a man by the name of Jehoshaphat who was a king of Judah. He had three, everybody say three. Three enemy armies coming him at once. Not just one thing to deal with, but another thing and another thing. One of the ways you know that the devil is causing you the problem is that you don't have just one thing. You have a multitude of things trying to hit you all at once to drain your tank. That's an attack of the enemy. He didn't know what to do. He was overwhelmed. What are we going to do? A prophet came to him. Thank God for prophets. A prophet came to him with a word from the Lord. And the word of the Lord from the prophet was this: you do not need to fight this battle. Stand still. And the word still there means relax. And see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord with you. You don't need to fight. Relax. Boy, that's going to take some faith when you see three armies, not one, but coming after you and see the deliverance, the salvation of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat consulted with his people and he got together and said, we've heard a word from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. So, and they got together and they came up with a plan. And the plan was this. Okay, the Lord told us not to fight this like we normally would. So we have an army, but we're not going to put the army out front when the enemy comes. Instead, we're going to put the worship team. So you guys are going to be in the front. And they said, say what? No, we've heard from the Lord, so it's okay. You're going to be out front, and you're going to just begin to praise God and worship God and declare his mercy and in his goodness to us, and that's what you're going to do. And they agreed. Prophets tell you weird things sometimes, don't they? Barbara has been a prophet in my life since the Baptist church days. And she's told me some far out stuff that I go, you're either a prophet or you are a weirdo. But every time she shared with me, it's come true. And I followed instructions. I had enough sense to recognize that's a prophet. And God has sent you a prophet to tell you something. You better obey, and it's not going to be the conventional way of doing things. And so they put the praise team out in the front of three armies coming against them. And notice this, 2 Chronicles 20:21. When they began, everybody say began, singing and praising, the Lord set up ambushes against their enemy and destroyed them all. When they began. I'm telling you, there are some battles in your life. You are going to have to learn either how to praise God or you're going to get your tail whipped. Because God doesn't want you to fight it with flesh and blood or how smart you are. He wants you to do it His way, and the Spirit wants to lead you to see the power of praising God and worshiping God and focusing on God rather than your problems or even your enemies, and watch how God will defeat your enemies for you. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah right there. The same thing happened in the New Testament in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas were in prison, in the inner prison. And it says, and when at midnight, when they began to sing praises and songs to God, that God shook the place with an earthquake, and all the prisoners, all the shackles fell off, and all the doors opened up. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God's still alive? Amen. Well, why does He have us read these things in the Bible if He doesn't expect us to do them? I don't know what you're facing right now, but if something hasn't worked and you've been trying to get through a trial and boy, you just not get, maybe it's time to get your shout and praise on. Can't do any harm. God expects us to represent Him properly in this earth. He expects us to follow His way, to be Spirit-led people. And the Spirit of God will lead us to do the right things. Do you remember Moses? One time, the children of Israel were facing a battle with a group of people called Amalek. And Amalek is a people that came from their great-grandfather would have been Esau. Esau and Jacob. And Esau had the inheritance to come into him, but he chose to give in to his fleshly desires and wanted a pot of stew and gave up. It didn't have any regard for his inheritance or being the firstborn. Well, Amalek are these people that came out of Esau. They represent people who are more inclined to follow the flesh rather than the Spirit. And Israel was facing a battle like you and I face today against the flesh. The flesh wants to dominate the Spirit. The flesh wants to tell you, no, the spiritual stuff's not real. Only what you can see, feel, taste, and touch is real. And so there's Israel fighting this battle against the people of Amalek, the flesh versus the spirit. Moses is old by now, and he sees Joshua and the troops down there in the valley fighting, and they bring Moses up to the top of this hill, and Moses is an old man, and he begins to see Amalek, the people of flesh, prevailing against Israel, and Israel getting tired and weary. What does Moses do? He lifts his hands. That's all he did. Lifts his hands. A sign of faith, a sign of victory. Honoring God, blessing God. Praise. That's all he did. His arms got tired, and he had two people on side of him, one hold up this arm, one hold up this arm, because they found out the moment that his arms went down, the flesh prevailed. The moment his praise went down, the enemy began to prevail. Are you listening? And so they realized after a while they got two big old rocks, and they put his elbows, one on this side and one on that side, just so he'd keep his hands up. And he kept his hands up until the evening, and Israel prevailed. That's in the Bible to show us that praise is that powerful. Our praise must be continually, continually. Rejoice in the Lord always. I don't care what the trouble is. You can always give God praise. You can always honor God. Look at this last scripture up here, Psalm 149. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Everybody shout out right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's high praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a two-edged sword in their hand. That's not a 357. That's the Word of God. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. You have the Word of God. You pray the Word of God, and you take the Word of God and use it as being able to give praise to God. Let that high praise of God be in their mouth and the Word of God in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen, that's unbelievers, and punishment upon the people, and to bind their kings, that would be demon princes, with chains. Bind the devil. Praise ye the Lord. Praise binds the devil when nothing else will. Have you ever rebuked the Lord and he didn't buke? What do you do next? You better know how to praise God. And you need to be in a place that teaches you how to praise. You need to be around people that they're just praising God. It's more caught than it is taught. You just learn how to release praise to God without inhibition, without fear. Whether it's raising your hands or shouting out praise, whether it's dance, whatever it is, you express praise to God. Praise to God. It's that important. Now I'm going to ask our altar workers all come up here and be in place. I want to ask you two questions. This is very important, so pay close attention. Don't close your mind on me when we're wrapping up here. Pay close attention. This is the most important questions I'm about to ask you. First question is this. Do you, just you now, if it's you and I in my office, you and I'd look you in the eye and I'd ask you this question. Do you have eternal life? Eternal life. And eternal life is described as the life of God. I'm not talking about living forever. Everybody, every human lives forever. I said every human lives forever. Every human lives forever, ever, either in heaven after this life or hell after this life. Eternal life is the life of God. For God so loved the world. Come on. You already know it. God wants you to have eternal life. That's His life. He wants you to have the life of God in you. So you live forever, and when you leave this earth, you go to heaven with Him forever. Second question is this. Are you experiencing right now eternal life? I'm not talking about living forever. I'm talking about the life of God. And it's possible that you could be born again, but you're not experiencing the life of God. And maybe today God's brought some pointers to you and trying to show you some things. You need to get more focused and more attentive on the very purpose that God has you here. And that is to have fellowship and relationship with Him. And out of Him, everything else will come. He's got to be number one in your life. He can't be number two. Nobody can serve two masters. He wants to be number one in your life. And it's possible today that somebody here is not born again. They haven't received eternal life. They believe, maybe even talk to God, maybe even go to church, but they haven't received. There has to be a time where you receive eternal life. Receive Jesus into your life to be your Lord, your God, and Savior. Just like there's a throne in heaven, there's a throne on your heart. Somebody is in control of your heart. And you need to move off the throne and ask Jesus to come and sit on the throne. That's what it means to experience salvation. God will forgive you all your sins and come in and live on your in your heart and teach you how to live a Spirit-led life. It's a process from there on, but you have to start by being born of the Spirit of God. Not by just joining the church or being baptized. You have to be born of the Spirit. And I want to ask you to stand right now. And in this very holy moment, I want to ask you again. And I want you to answer in your heart what you know to be true. Do you have the eternal life of God in you right now? Are you born of the Spirit of God? It's either yes or no. And if you say, well, I don't know for sure, that's a no, because there's no faith. So you need to be born again. Any one of these wonderful people up here can help you deal with that issue and settle that issue right now. And I'd like to help you, and then I'd like you to come express it to them and say, I just prayed with you, just like those three young people did last week. They heard the gospel, and they prayed a prayer that I'm going to lead you in. And the next week they were baptized to show we're not ashamed. We believe, we've received eternal life. Now, let's bow our heads. I do that to make you focus on God and not on everybody around you. You're not sure, or you know it's a no, then come on, pray out loud with your mouth, at least loud enough where you can hear. In the name of the Lord Jesus, God, I pray to you. I want to be born of your Spirit. Jesus said, I must be born again. I believe you. I take you at your word. And right now, as best as I know how, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, my God, who died on the cross for me and was raised again and is alive right now. I ask you to come sit on the throne of my heart. Be my King, my Lord. I confess you as my Lord right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me. That's a start. That's a birth. Whether you feel something or not, it's not important. You did what God said. Take him at his word. Now you have eternal life. Now the rest of you, the second question, are you experiencing eternal life? That's a yes or a no. And if you're born again and you're not experiencing eternal life, it's because you're walking more in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. And I would encourage you to come to this altar or get one of these people to pray with you and help you today to make a switch for the better. So, Father, thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the word of God going out today. It will not return void. And we all together say out loud, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine be the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Come on up here, young man. This man will pray with you right here. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks for being here today. If you want prayer, come up here. We'll be glad to deal with you and pray with you.